Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. Amen. Amen. So we had a really good time at men's camp, and as I say, we kind of hung on to that scripture. The other thing that Pastor B was talking about was like the men being like polished arrows. And when we were praying about that this morning, I could imagine a polished arrow in flight going towards its mark and hitting the mark. I'm thinking of young Nathaniel. He was interested in archery. And one time he had a specialist bow maker make him this bow down in England. And the guy said to him, well, what tension do you want on the bow? And he's quite a gung-ho guy. And he just says, well, I want the hardest one. And then it was funny because when the bow arrived, he actually couldn't pull the bow at all. He couldn't pull it back. I says, Nathaniel, how are you going to let an arrow fly from that thing? He says, well, you know what? He says, I'm just going to go. I'm going to work out, and I'm going to, until I can eventually get it back. And I was thinking about the guys with the longbows. They must have been some guys because they actually managed to pull that bow all the way back to there and then let those arrows fly. So I'm thinking, do you know what? If we're the arrows, then who is doing this?
God Almighty.
Amen. God, it's God, Jehovah God Almighty that's doing it. And so I don't want him to go to all of, you know, he's investing in our lives, you know, by his grace, and he just pours into us. And I don't want to mess up where he wants to send me. So when he's given you a mark to hit, then go for the mark. Amen. So it's a short message today because we've had two days of different messages. So, but just really to encourage you as we go into 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I want to really just assure you this morning, you will not die on this fast, okay? You won't die. You'll be fine. And it's to stir you up to go to another level on the fast. You know, we've been doing 21 days of prayer and fasting for years. Years and years, and we're kind of bringing this into a little bit of alignment with Pastor Jensen Franklin from Free Chapel, who's also been doing with his church 21 days of prayer and fasting for Yonks, and it's really become a huge advantage. I think fasting gives you advantage in so many ways. And I think that one of the things that we're looking for as Christians is advantage. We don't want to be at the disadvantage. We want to be advantaged. Amen? So we've got to use everything that God says. Listen, use this because it will give you what you need to achieve the mark that I've set you on the way to. We should be looking at using that. And I'm speaking personally and fessing up that we've underused the power of fasting, and we're setting our mind, as we prayed there, that we're setting our hearts and our minds to making a committed decision to do better. So can you join me in that, to do better? Amen. So we're sowing the first season of this year into fasting and prayer. And one of the guys on men's camp said, you know, this is great because we're sowing the first weekend of the year to the Lord to be together. And it's a very significant thing when you take the first moments of anything and you dedicate it to the Lord. And so, like as we said last week, usually we praise God and we thank him in post whatever he's done for us instead of in advance. And so we're trying to get our life running in advance of God's goodness. Amen. Praise him before the victory. Amen. So I believe that this fast is going to set the course for the rest of the year. And, we can take heart because every major character in the Word fasted. major characters I'm talking about. There's lots of characters in the Bible, but it started with obviously, well, Jesus fasted, Daniel fasted. You know, just you read through the word and people fasted, and so and the reason they did that was because fasting and prayer releases miracles. You know, fasting and prayer brings about miraculous things, and I believe we're a church that are after the miraculous. Do you agree? Amen. So before we go on, because everyone's going to expect us to read Isaiah 58. So we're not going to disappoint you. Let us read Isaiah 58 concerning fasting. But then I want to leave it at that. We're going to, over the course of this today and next week, we're going to look at some powerful examples of how fasting actually, fasting leaves a legacy. When you fast, it's not just for the time and it doesn't just affect the time and season that you're in. It affects your future too. And there's a great example here, and we'll look at it just now. But let's read Isaiah 58. We'll read from verse 6. And it says there, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" It's great. All of that, it's like the Lord is just waiting for us to go through this and to attend to all of these things. And then he's like, just do it, and here is the promises. You'll be healed. You'll be delivered. Light will break forth like the morning. You know, whenever the word talks about light, I think about revelation. I think about knowledge. I think about increase in that way. And God basically says, "Here I am." It's like he becomes just so real during that time of focused fasting and praying. And so, you know, who wouldn't want the bonds of wickedness loosed off them? Who wouldn't want to be unburdened from all of the heavy stuff that is on our shoulders? Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be set free from oppression? Yeah. Who wouldn't want that a yoke is... I don't know if you've... I mean, growing up, I mean, my wife's a farm girl, so she probably knows this, but, you know, growing up in South Africa, we often seen the traditional way that oxen were yoked up together to do work. And they have cattle there. They're called Afrikaner cattle, and they have these huge humps on their back, and the yoke goes just in front. But you know, you see there that what happens is that initially the yoke, it cuts through their you know, it wears away, and it causes injury to that area, and eventually it becomes, you know, hardened to what it has to do, scarred, if you like, yeah. Whereas here it was easier because I seen here it was horses that they pulled, and they were padded. They had these big like necklaces, and it was all padded, and so the horse could pull. But you know, a yoke is something that can hurt you. You know, it's not a pleasant experience having to be yoked, but there's also a positive sense to being yoked as well. We've got to remember that. In a negative sense, there's, you know, there's that yoke or shackle of whatever it is. But then in the positive sense, we the Bible tells us to be equally yoked with each other. And the reason in that sense is so that we can achieve more together. You know, we can achieve more together as brothers and sisters instead of individually. So, I mean, do you think that that's all good stuff? It is. And you know, whenever we're listening to the word or we're reading the word, I think one of the things we always have to be looking at is, how can I use this, Father God, to reach an unreached heart? How can I communicate this to someone that doesn't know you? And how can I, you know, let them know that they don't have to be oppressed? And that's the whole message, isn't it? That's the good news, that you can be set, that you can be free. And so, you know, we can take a lot from this. But I want to look at one example this morning, and it's the life of Daniel. So if you got your Bibles with you, you got your Bibles, e-Bibles, paper Bibles, amen. Go to Daniel 1 and verse 8. Daniel 1 verse 8. And it says there in Daniel 1 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Okay, so looking at this verse here, Daniel purposed in his heart. I think Daniel made, some people say it was a Nazarite vow. It was a vow. He says, I'm not going to touch that stuff, okay? You know, when you make a vow to God, it's not play-play. It's serious. When we make a vow, we must keep our vows. Amen? So he made this vow to God. And, you know, it's like the Hebrews had a different diet to other cultures. You're aware of that? The way that they prepare things and what they eat is very, very specific. And, you know, basically Daniel was not going to let his diet be affected by the culture that he lived in at that time. And this 21 days, it's an opportunity for God to start cleaning us up. Amen? We begin the process by taking the step in faith to begin a cleansing process. But God gets to work and to clean us up and to set us apart and to separate us from our normal cultural norms. All right? So it's like this kind of like setting apart. And Daniel made a decision, I'm going to be set apart from this. So what we're going to be doing for 21 days, if you dare, is make a vow about what you're going to fast. Amen? You don't make a vow to me, to the church, to your husband or to your wife. Just make a vow to God about what it is you're going to decide to do, okay? Because he's going to hold you to that, you know? If I only made the vow to Linda, So she'd say, do you remember what you said? But, you know, I know that the consequence, and this is okay, I've got to be careful what I say here, but the consequences of saying, oh, listen, it's okay, you know, she's not going to beat me or anything like that. But when you make a vow to God, it's a serious thing. Amen. And, you know, sometimes that's the only thing that will keep you on track is a vow. The fact that you've made a vow, sometimes it takes making a vow to keep you fixed on what you're going to do. Because when you realize how serious it is, the consequences of breaking that vow, if you understand that, you'll stay fixed. Amen? So there's a great reward here, family. I want to tell you that. It's not just the blessing that seeing the fast through to the end will bring, because that'll bring a blessing. But it's more importantly the blessing and the breakthrough that we'll experience by simply keeping the vow. Do you understand that? If we get to the end of the fast, we've done good. But if we've kept a vow to God, that's better. That's beginning to build an integrity and a strength of character in you that will just get stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. or that he would not pollute his body. All right? You see, the king's delicacies were unclean. And Daniel had to be careful because although he was highly favored, he was still a slave. They changed his name. So he wasn't his own man. And so there was a bit of pressure there on Daniel. And of course, I think it was the eunuch that came to him and said, listen, you guys are going to get me into big trouble here because, you know, if you don't eat the king's delicacies, you're going to look terrible. And Daniel says, no. No, I don't want any of that stuff. I'll tell you what I want. You bring it. And of course, you know the story. Once they, I think that's where the Daniel fast comes from. Vegetables and what, eh? Yeah. And what, so, and of course, they look better than everyone else. But anyway, so they had to be careful because there were still people in that place that hated them. Okay, and you can imagine there would have maybe been a temptation for some of their keepers to slip in some swine flesh or some pig meat or something there. These guys, the king favors these guys. Let's just mess this up. Let's just slip some stuff in there that is going to trip them up. And you know they did that. Of course, they managed to get the king to set a decree concerning prayer. So they were trying to get these guys. Amen? But he says, no, you just bring me what I want, my vegetables and water. Amen? And you know, I believe that that's one reason, and follow me here, because I believe the Holy Spirit just says, remember this. When you read the word, he brings the word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But he brings the word which was, and he brings it into the now. And you're like, okay, now I know why you're showing me that. I believe that that's one reason that our fast should be discreet, okay? So Daniel says, bring this stuff to me. Unbeknownst to them, Daniel is embarking on a fast. Had they known that what he was doing was an act of obedience, they would have tried to scupper it, wouldn't they? As soon as you make a decision to be obedient in your fast, it's possible that someone's going to try and scupper that. They're going to try and upset it. If there's one area in life that we're thoroughly tested in, it's food and appetite. Would you agree? Food and appetite. That is one area in life which is a big test. And other people may deliberately attempt to trip you up on your fast. Okay? When we devote ourselves to God in prayer and fasting privately, he changes things for us outwardly. And next week I've got a great little mini movie to show you about fasting. I'm going to keep it under wraps, but you will laugh. So if you want a great laugh, come to church next Sunday. But, you know, I sometimes feel we've got to go back to the word. The word, you know, we don't need to discuss our fast and proclaim our fast to all and sundry. We need to keep it between us and the Lord, all right? Obviously, in my household, my wife has an understanding of, okay, we know our schedule and what we're going to do, all right? Go to Matthew 6, verse 16. It says there, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Wow. You know? It's like, hi, Joe, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Well, how are you doing? Oh, man, see this fast. see this fast, Joe. You know, it's like, can't you see I'm fasting? And like that say, just anoint your head, freshen your breath, put on clean clothes, use your deodorant, and get on with it. Amen? Amen. So I believe that we don't want people to try, because you know some of us here may have family or friends that are not saved. They don't understand this whole business, and they're going to test you if they know you're fasting. You may experience a test or two. Has anyone actually experienced that? Has anyone? Maybe. Yeah, I see if maybe that happens. So I want to go into the reasons why we're fasting and just go over them quickly. Go to Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. One of the reasons we fast is for protection. One of the reasons we pray and fast is for protection. Amen. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Can you get a grip of that? That we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all of our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all of those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Protection. And so I'm wondering, why don't we fast more? I don't want just to be protected when we're fasting. We pray for the covering of the Lord over our household, but we want, fasting brings protection. It's a time of humbling. It's a time of repentance and a time of rededication, and it's a time of cleansing. Right at the start of the year, it's a great time. But I really could not get over that. And I'd never seen that scripture before. To seek him for the right way for us and our little ones and all of our possessions. If there's anyone here struggling with your kids, there's an answer. There is a solution. That God will show us the way so that we know. We know the solutions to dealing with our family problems, problems with our little ones. Amen? The second reason we fast is to draw closer to God. And we know that if we draw close to him, he draws close to us, doesn't he? Go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? Why do we go through all of this? I think that these Pharisees were like professionals in appearing like they're fasting. They were probably, you know, oh man, so there's those guys again. They're fasting, you know. Yeah, dry lips and crusty beards. So he says, why do your disciples not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Hey? The bridegroom is waiting to be reunited with the bride. They were with Jesus. One of the things that I love about Christianity, about God, is that he knows that we need faith to make it on the earth. But he only requires that of us while we're on earth. When we get to glory, by the grace of God, you don't need faith anymore. Because you're there. You're there. So when Jesus is with you, he's with you. But if he says, when I'm not with you, then fast, then it would be good to do what he says. Amen. So we draw closer to God when we fast. Amen. The third reason, listen, there's many reasons to fast and pray, but this is only a few. The third reason is for healing. Go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. And it says there, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. But then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. This kind. So all of a sudden we understand that there are certain kinds of things that do not shift unless we pray and we fast. Is anyone here, you don't have to put your hands up, but struggling with strongholds in your life that have been cyclical or periodical, or in other words, they're there. And you try and work through them with your willpower, only to fail and it rears its head again, and you're dealing and tackling the same problems over and over again. Have you prayed and fasted for that? Have you done it intensely? Have you made a vow to go and fast for that? Consider that. Okay, now here's a good story. This is another reason why we fast. We fast for freedom. We fast for freedom. And if you read in Daniel 1, who was the king at the start of the story in Daniel 1? It was Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar. But after Nebuchadnezzar, the guy that followed on from him was Cyrus the Great. Now, this is amazing. All right. Daniel, he's been raised up and empowered there in that place. Okay. And I believe the reason why that happened was because of the lifestyle he led. The wisdom, the perception, the knowledge, everything came through his lifestyle. Devoted to God, fasting, praying. I think the word says that there were no men like them in the whole land. There was no one like them, these guys. So anyway, Daniel tutored and mentored Cyrus the Great. He was the successor of Nebuchadnezzar. And you think, well, so what? Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had great favor, interpret dreams and do all of this stuff. Of course he's going to be involved some way. But I believe God positioned them there for something. And this is incredible because it's almost like you want to get to the end before you get, you know. So let me go through it bit by bit. The man Cyrus was the king that ended Babylonian captivity. It was him that decreed an end to captivity. And he was mentored and brought up by Daniel. Now, Cyrus was still a heathen king, all right? He didn't worship the Lord, didn't worship Jehovah. And he still lets the slaves go, all right? And not only that, he effectively blesses them, all right? Tells them to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild it, and gives them, sends them on their way with gold and all other sorts of resources, all right? Well, that's already pretty impressive, isn't it? Why would Cyrus do that? It's because somebody was communicating with him and teaching him, which was Daniel, and Daniel was just Daniel. He was the right man to be doing this. He obviously had a great influence on this guy. And even though the guy was a heathen king, the favor, just there you go, on you go, there's gold, there's resources, on you go. And in Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, you can see again that Daniel fasted for 21 days. Now, the 21 days is very significant, all right? So let's read that in Daniel 10, verse 2 and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. All right? He ate no pleasant food. Some translations say he ate no pleasant bread. And like I said last week, don't eat anything beige, because all the pleasant stuff is beige. You look at pastries, chocolate twists, pano raisins, all of it, it's all beige. And so, you know, nothing. So I'm only joking. But during that time of fasting, Daniel had a vision of the renewal of Jerusalem. Amen? He had a vision of the renewal of Jerusalem. So this is all starting to piece together here now, but here's the awesome thing. And I was listening to Pastor Jensen Franklin. This is where I got this information from. There's a link between Cyrus the Great and the American Constitution. Hey, I'm like, how? On the second floor of the United Nations, there is the first Bill of Rights for people of all nations, okay? It's called the Cyrus Cylinder. It is marked with Hebrew text on the outside. When Thomas Jefferson began to form the American Constitution, he was using that as a resource to put together the American Constitution, the Bill of Rights. He was referring to something that happened in the time of Daniel, amen? And here we are, America is a free country at the moment, by the grace of God. So the freedom that's enjoyed by America today can be traced back to a man who gave up 21 days to pray and fast. Come on. That's good. That's legacy. One man fasts for 21 days, and there's a free country. Come on. Influence, profound influence. Last one. You ready for one more? We want one more. We fast for cleansing. Cleansing is closely linked to fasting. All right. You know, we know that when we embark on a fast, that there's a natural cleansing that begins to take place. All right? There's a natural cleansing. In fact, we also know now that if you go on to, you Google fasting now, you'll find professionals who will prescribe you a fast according to your genetics, body makeup, and all of that stuff. And basically, the benefits of fasting are great health, renewed health. So we know that there is a link between our health and fasting, okay? But we all know that a lot of people, we're sneaky. We embark on a fast with we might lose a few pounds here, and that's pretty neat. But this, you know, I'll go through with this, and yeah, I'll feel a little bit better, and you know. But it can't be all about that, okay? You know, the good thing about God is that the byproducts of obedience are amazing. Yeah. The unintended consequences of being obedient and fasting are amazing. But we do not pray, we do not fast and pray to lose a half stone and for the complexion of our skin to be a bit better, all right? But more importantly, there's a spiritual cleansing involved when we fast. Amen? And we haven't read this passage, but we know that when Jesus went into the wilderness and he spent 40 days fasting, it was straight after that that Satan came to tempt him. And he was sent on his way. So although you think that, well, how weak must you be after fasting for 21 days or something? You're actually stronger. You're actually stronger than you were before. And that's the thing. So that spiritual cleansing produces a spiritual strength in your life. And there's reasons for cleansing and purification. I just want to go over this because it's interesting. Why did Jesus give his life for the church? I want to ask you that. Why did Jesus give his life for the church? So that the church, which is his body, would be sanctified and cleansed in this world and be glorious in the next world. Jesus gave his life for us so that we could be sanctified and cleansed. We do, and it is correct, we say Jesus gave his life for us to save our souls. But he gave his life for us to be sanctified and cleansed. Amen? So the sanctification or the cleansing would remove the pollution, the guilt, and the dominion of sin. All right? When you sanctify something, you know, if you look at Hebrew Jewish culture, I remember seeing a program on this. They get these guys that come into their homes periodically, and they boil water, and everything is boiled, and everything is cleaned in at a certain temperature. Everything that they do, the meat they eat, everything is done in a certain temperature. It's because nothing can be unclean. All of any trace of pollution or anything has to be wiped out. Amen. So that it's really important, you know. We read about us presenting ourselves. You know, when the church is ready, when Jesus is ready to meet the church, what does it say about the church? The church shall be united, spotless, without blemish. It'll be sanctified and it'll be holy. Amen. Go to Psalm 24, verse 3. Psalm 24, verse 3, and we'll read 3, 4, and 5. It says there, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen? Amen. Clean hands. If you go to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. It says there, wash yourselves, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. And then it says in verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Come and let us reason, let us talk together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you, there's always a but. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And in verse 1, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. And we often understand that we wash our minds with the word. It cleanses us. But when we fast, we begin to be cleansed deeply spiritually. And that's the important thing. So I want to encourage everyone to make a decision this fast to really go do something that you've never done before. You know, we said last week, the Holy Spirit is the difference maker. Do something different because you can, because he's with you. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I believe that when we break our fast at the end of January, we will have an anointing with oil service here. And we'll also have a great time of fellowship. We may just tie that in with Sunday social that day. Or would that be a good idea? I don't know. Well, did someone say yes? Okay. All right. You know, so you've got to be careful with the feast at the end of the fast, because you can be sick. You can mess you up. So we might not do Domino's that day. We might do something different. So praise God. That was the word of the Lord for today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.